Chapter 26, The Cold War Begins, 1945 to 1960. Why it matters. After World War II, an intense rivalry developed between the United States and the Soviet Union, two superpowers with very different political and economic systems. This rivalry, known as the Cold War, led to a massive buildup of military weapons on both sides. The determination of American leaders to contain communism also led to the Korean War, in which over 54,000 Americans died. The impact today. The effects of Cold War events are still evident today. The NATO alliance works to guarantee the security of many democratic countries. The math and science training important to the space race remains an educational priority. Section 1. Origins of the Cold War. An American Story. On April 23, 1945, President Harry S. Truman welcomed Soviet Foreign Minister Vyacheslav Molotov into the Oval Office of the White House. Truman had been president for less than 2 weeks, but he was determined to get tough with Molotov. Truman told the Soviet diplomat how disgusted he was with Moscow's refusal to permit free elections in Poland, expressing his deep disappointment that the Soviet Union was not carrying out its agreements. Bluntly, he warned Molotov that Soviet defiance would seriously shake the confidence of the United States and Great Britain in their wartime ally. Molotov began to explain the Soviet position, but Truman interrupted again and again, repeating his demand that Stalin carry out that agreement in accordance with his word. Astonished, Molotov blurted out, "I have never been talked to like that in my life." "Carry out your agreements," the president snapped back, "and you won't get talked to like that." Adapted from The Cold War, A History. A Clash of Interests. Even before World War II ended, the wartime alliance between the United States and the Soviet Union had begun to show signs of strain. President Roosevelt had hoped that a victory over the Axis and the creation of the United Nations would lead to a more peaceful world. Instead, the United States and the Soviet Union became increasingly hostile toward each other after the war. This led to an era of confrontation and competition between the United States and the Soviet Union that lasted from about 1946 to 1990. This era became known as the Cold War. Soviet security concerns. Tensions between the United States and the Soviet Union began to increase because the two sides had different goals. As the war ended, Soviet leaders became concerned about security. Germany had invaded Russia twice in less than 30 years. The Soviets wanted to keep Germany weak and make sure that the countries between Germany and the Soviet Union were under Soviet control. Although security concerns influenced their thinking, Soviet leaders were also communists. They believed that communism was a superior economic system that would eventually replace capitalism, and that the Soviet Union should encourage communism in other nations. Soviet leaders also accepted Lenin's theory that capitalist countries eventually would try to destroy communism. This made Soviet leaders suspicious of capitalist nations. American economic concerns. While Soviet leaders focused on securing their borders, American leaders focused on economic problems. Many American officials believed that the Depression had caused World War II. Without it, Hitler would never have come to power, and Japan would not have wanted to expand its empire. American advisors also thought the Depression had been overly severe because countries cut back on trade. They believed that when nations seal themselves off economically, it forces them to go to war to get the resources they need. By 1945, President Roosevelt and his advisors were convinced that economic growth was the key to world peace. They wanted to promote economic growth by increasing world trade. Similar reasoning convinced American leaders to promote democracy and free enterprise. They believed that democratic government with protections for people's rights made countries more stable and peaceful. They also thought that the free enterprise system with private property rights and limited government intervention in the economy was the best route to prosperity. Reading check. Describing. Why did U.S. leaders promote both international trade and free enterprise? The Yalta Conference. In February 1945, with the war in Europe almost over, Roosevelt, Churchill, and Stalin met at Yalta, a Soviet resort on the Black Sea, to plan the post-war world. Although the conference seemed to go well, several agreements reached at Yalta later played an important role in causing the Cold War. Poland. The first issue discussed at Yalta was what to do about Poland. Shortly after the Germans invaded Poland, the Polish government leaders had fled to Britain. In 1944, however, Soviet troops drove back the Germans and entered Poland. As they liberated Poland from German control, the Soviets encouraged Polish communists to set up a new government. This meant there were now two governments claiming the right to govern Poland, one communist and one non-communist. President Roosevelt and Prime Minister Churchill both argued that the Poles should be free to choose their own government. "This is what we went to war against Germany for," Churchill explained, "that Poland should be free and sovereign." Stalin quickly responded to Churchill's comments. According to Stalin, the Polish government had to be friendly to the Soviet Union. It was a matter of life and death. Eventually, the three leaders compromised. Roosevelt and Churchill agreed to recognize the Polish government set up by the Soviets. Stalin agreed that the government would include members of the pre-war Polish government and that free elections would be held as soon as possible. Declaration of Liberated Europe. After reaching a compromise on Poland, Roosevelt, Churchill, and Stalin agreed to issue the Declaration of Liberated Europe. The declaration asserted the right of all people to choose the form of government under which they will live. The Allies promised that the people of Europe would be allowed to create democratic institutions of their own choice. They also promised to create temporary governments that represented all democratic elements and pledged the earliest possible establishment through free elections of governments responsive to the will of the people. Dividing Germany. After agreeing to a set of principles for liberating Europe, the conference focused on Germany. Roosevelt, Churchill, and Stalin agreed to divide Germany into four zones. Great Britain, the United States, the Soviet Union, and France would each control one zone. The same four countries would also divide the city of Berlin, even though it was in the Soviet zone. Although pleased with the decision to divide Germany, Stalin also wanted to weaken the country economically. He demanded that Germany pay heavy reparations for the war damage it caused. Roosevelt agreed, but he insisted reparations be based on Germany's ability to pay. He also suggested, and Stalin agreed, that Germany pay reparations with trade goods and products instead of cash. The Allies would also be allowed to remove industrial machinery, railroad cars, and other equipment from Germany as reparations. This decision did not resolve the issue. Over the next few years, arguments about reparations and economic policy in Germany increased tensions between the United States and the Soviet Union. These arguments became one of the major causes of the Cold War. Tensions begin to rise. The Yalta decisions shaped the expectations of the United States. 2 weeks after Yalta, the Soviets pressured the King of Romania into appointing a communist government. The United States accused the Soviets of violating the Declaration of Liberated Europe. Soon afterward, the Soviets refused to allow more than three non-communist Poles to serve in the 18-member Polish government. There was also no indication that they intended to hold free elections in Poland as promised. On April 1st, President Roosevelt informed the Soviets that their actions in Poland were not acceptable. 11 days later, with Soviet-American relations deteriorating, President Roosevelt died, and Vice President Harry Truman took office. Reading check. Identifying. What did the Allies decide at Yalta? Truman takes control. Although inexperienced in diplomacy, Truman already had his own views about how to deal with the Soviets. Truman was strongly anti-communist and suspicious of Stalin. He believed World War II had begun because Britain had tried to appease Hitler. he was determined not to make the same mistake with Stalin. "We must stand up to the Russians," he told Secretary of State Edward Stettinius the day after taking office. 10 days later, Truman did exactly that during his meeting with Soviet Foreign Minister Molotov. Truman immediately brought up the issue of Poland and demanded that Stalin hold free elections as he promised at Yalta. Molotov took the unexpectedly strong message back to Stalin. The meeting marked an important shift in Soviet-American relations and set the stage for further confrontations. The Potsdam Conference. In July 1945, with the war against Japan still raging, Truman finally met Stalin at Potsdam, near Berlin. Both men had come to Potsdam primarily to work out a deal on Germany. Truman was now convinced that German industry was critical. Unless Germany's economy was allowed to revive, the rest of Europe would never recover, and the German people might turn to communism out of desperation. Stalin and his advisors were equally convinced that they needed reparations from Germany. The war had devastated their economy. Soviet troops had begun stripping their zone in Germany of its machinery and industrial equipment for use back home, but Stalin wanted Germany to pay much more. At the conference, Truman took a firm stand against heavy reparations. He insisted that Germany's industry had to be allowed to recover. Truman suggested that the Soviets take reparations from their zone, while the Allies allowed industry to revive in other zones. Stalin opposed this idea, since the Soviet zone was mostly agricultural. It could not provide all of the reparations the Soviets wanted. To get the Soviets to accept the deal, Truman offered Stalin a small amount of German industrial equipment from the other zones, but required the Soviets to pay for part of it with food shipments from their zone. He also offered to accept the new German-Polish border the Soviets had established. Stalin did not like Truman's proposal. At Potsdam, Truman learned that the atomic bomb had been successfully tested, and he told Stalin about the test. Stalin suspected Truman was trying to bully him into a deal, and that the Americans were trying to limit reparations to keep the Soviets weak. Despite his suspicions, Stalin had to accept the deal. American and British troops controlled Germany's industrial heartland, and there was no way for the Soviets to get any reparations except by cooperating. Nonetheless, the Potsdam Conference marked yet another increase in tensions between the Soviets and the Americans, further paving the way for the Cold War. The Iron Curtain descends. Although Truman had won the argument over reparations, he had less success on other issues at Potsdam. The Soviets refused to make any stronger commitments to uphold the Declaration of Liberated Europe. The presence of the Soviet army in Eastern Europe ensured that eventually pro-Soviet communist governments would be established in Poland, Romania, Bulgaria, Hungary, and Czechoslovakia. "This war is not as in the past," Stalin commented. "Whoever occupies a territory also imposes his own social system. It cannot be otherwise." The communist countries of Eastern Europe came to be called satellite nations. Although not under direct Soviet control, they had to remain communist and friendly to the Soviet Union. They also had to follow policies that the Soviets approved. As he watched the communist takeover in Eastern Europe, Winston Churchill coined a phrase to describe what had happened. On March 5, 1946, in a speech delivered in Fulton, Missouri, Churchill said, "From Stettin in the Baltic to Trieste in the Adriatic, an iron curtain has descended across the continent. Behind that line lie all the capitals of the ancient states of Central and Eastern Europe. All are subject in one form or another, not only to Soviet influence, but to a very high and increasing measure of control from Moscow." Quoted in The United States and the Origins of the Cold War, 1941 to 1947. With the Iron Curtain separating the communist nations of Eastern Europe from the West, the World War II era had come to an end. The Cold War was about to begin. Reading Check. Explaining. How did the Potsdam Conference hurt Soviet-American relations?